Now may we look at the difference between the Jewish Passover and the Lord's Supper. I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. Mark chapter 14 and verse 14. And then we may also look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 5 and verse 7 in the American Revised. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. There is an important difference and distinction between the Passover, which is a Jewish national commemorative feast, and the Lord's Supper, which is a distinctly Christian memorial feast. We should have an intelligent understanding of the difference between the two. And I shall try to reconstruct the events of both to make that difference clear. First of all, we look at the Passover feast of Jewry. The Lord met his disciples in the large upper room furnished and prepared by the hospitality of an unknown disciple in the city of Jerusalem. This was for the purpose of eating the Passover feast with his disciples. Mark 14, 14 and 15. It was Thursday night before his crucifixion on a Friday. And it was the night in which he was betrayed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23. Our Lord came to this prepared guest chamber, knowing that his hour was come. John 13, verse 1. And the 12 would sit down in the reclining position common at this feast. The paschal lamb had been prepared, and the Lord expressed his desire to partake of this celebration with his disciples. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Luke 22 and verse 15. It was to be his last Passover until the establishing of his kingdom here on earth. Verse 16. Then he took the cup. That is the first of four used at the paschal feast. After giving thanks, the Lord then gave it to his disciples to divide between themselves. Verse 17. It was customary at this point for all to arise and wash their hands. Supper being ended, that is, supper already prepared and ready for serving. It was here that the Lord, having heard their jealous striving for places of honor, himself rose and washed the feet of his disciples, giving a loving but pointed rebuke to carnal ambition, and doing so by an example of lowly service, as he that serveth. Luke 22, verse 27. After washing, the company took their seats again, and were served unleavened bread and bitter herbs dipped in salt or vinegar. The round cakes of unleavened bread, three in number, were placed one upon the other, making as it were one bread, yet separate in three, with a napkin dividing. If Israel had had eyes to see, this was an indication of the triune nature of the Godhead, but that was hid from their eyes. The second cup of wine was then poured out, and this was followed by an exposition. When the one in charge answered questions the younger folk may have asked concerning the meaning of any part of this paschal feast, He would explain the word Passover and tell of the occasion when the destroying angel of the Lord passed over the blood of besprinkled houses of the children of Israel while bringing judgment upon the Egyptians. He would explain how the unleavened bread pointed to the purgation of all leaven, symbol of evil, from their houses before the beginning of that new journey which was founded upon redemption. He would also tell how the bitter herbs were a token of the cruel bondage inflicted upon them while in that land, and they were not to forget how the Lord brought them out of that bondage. Then followed a second washing of the hands, after which the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs were eaten in the form of a sandwich. It was while partaking of this that the Lord Jesus spoke of treachery in the midst, and being troubled in spirit said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Matthew 26, verse 21. Deeply affected, the disciples began a searching inquiry among themselves as to who that one might be. "Lord, is it I?" each asked. Verse 22. John, being nearest to the Lord, in answer to Peter's prompting, leaned over and asked, "Lord, who is it?" Evidently in a whisper, the Lord answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it." John 13:26. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. Immediately Satan entered into Judas. Verse 27. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out. Verse 30. Thus we see, far from partaking of anything of the Lord's Supper, Judas did not even partake of the symbolic Paschal lamb, for they had not yet come to that part of the feast. It was this Passover table to which the Lord referred when he said, "Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Matthew 22, verse 21. In the Passover feast, eating the Paschal lamb with special thanksgiving was the high point of the feast. But there we must leave it. Israel had rejected him. He was no Lamb of God to them. Therefore, there was a suspension of that Passover feast at this point. And it was here that the Lord interposed to begin his own memorial feast. And this brings us to the Lord's Supper. The Paschal lamb had not yet been broken, but was still whole. Now the Lord made it fulfill its true significance, and also made the new feast entirely distinct from it. The new feast, the Lord's Supper, was now begun. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to his disciples and said, "Take eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26:26-28, Luke 22:17-20. The Lord broke the bread and poured out the wine in token of what was about to happen to his own body on the cross. And with the departure of Judas, he gave his own deep explanations to his disciples in the teachings of John chapters 13 through 16, with the promise that through his death, that though his death would bring them sorrow, yet said he, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. John 16:22. That is, he would see them again in a few days when he would rise from the dead. They were therefore to have an untroubled heart and not to be afraid, because he had already overcome the world. John 16:33. The Lord Jesus then prayed the great prayer of John 17, which took the place of the official grace after meat at the close of the Passover. Just as his expository teaching had taken the place of the Haggadah, or explanations and interpretations of the Passover, then came the parting hymn. Matthew 26:30, Mark 14:26, and so the Lord's Supper came to an end. These two feasts must be kept separate and distinct. The Passover was an historical commemoration of Israel's national physical deliverance from the land of bondage. The Lord's Supper was based upon a new covenant and was a memorial to his sacrifice on behalf of all who should believe on him. So the Lord, may the Lord keep those distinctions complete. Now listen to the words of Sir Henry Baker. O perfect life of love, all is finished now. All that he left his throne above to do for us below. No work is left undone of all the Father wills. His toils, his sorrows, one by one, all scripture have fulfilled. No pain that we can share, but he has felt the smart. All forms of human grief and care have pierced that tender heart. And on his thorn-crowned head, and on his sinless soul, our sins in all their guilt were laid, that he might make us whole. In perfect love he died. For me, he died. For me. O all atoning sacrifice, I cling by faith to thee. Amen. And amen.